I refer you to the last of the scripture lessons from earlier in the service, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 8 in just a moment. On Monday, this next Monday, 2 days from now, will be 30 years to the day since my wife and our daughter and I arrived here in the Phoenix area. It was a very hot day that day. The next day, the 25th of August, 1985, we worshiped at Heart to Heart Bible Church on Bell Road. And among the people that we met there were Chuck and Betsy Arnold. So our acquaintance with them goes back 30 years now. It's hard to think of that amount of time passing by, for it doesn't seem that long a period to me. But the Arnolds were always very gracious to us and took us out for dinner on occasion. And then in the later years, after Betsy was widowed, when I had to be away, Betsy, knowing what it was to be by herself, took pity on my wife and sometimes would contact her and take her out for a meal. And I always appreciated that kindness, not something that she trumpeted widely, but something that was certainly precious in our own souls. We're looking at verse 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I always like that, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. There are a number of texts that have been in my mind since I received the word that our sister Betsy had gone into the Lord's presence. But I come back in my mind to this one, which has been much upon my mind, especially that last part of verse 8, absent from the body and present with the Lord. All speculation about what happens when a Christian dies melts away in the face of this text. There are many people who rely for their understanding of what happens at death on the writings of those who pretend to recount near-death experiences. And it's hard to argue with those who claim to be reporting their own deeply personal experiences. But there is only one authoritative and therefore reliable description of what happens at a Christian's death. And we find that description in the words of this text. The moment of death is in the hands of God. And it is so indiscernible that no one can pinpoint it while it is happening. The markers of its approach are widely evident unless death comes suddenly, as often it does. The evidence of its occurrence is a matter of clinical determination. That is, there are clear ways, generally speaking, in which to make the determination this person has died. But that moment when your soul departs from your body is usually nearly impossible for others to ascertain while it is occurring. There are popular descriptions of moving toward a bright light or passing through a dark tunnel toward a bright light. But there is only one infallible revelation of what actually happens to a Christian at death. And that is the revelation we find in our text. It is comforting that the inspired Apostle Paul wrote these words years before he would experience their reality. So we do not have here Paul's testimony of his experience. We have here Paul's testimony of the revelation of God. Like everyone else, Paul may have wondered what it would be like when the time of his departure arrived. He would have no deathbed experience of sinking inexorably toward the end of mortal life. But his experience at the moment of the sword blow on his neck would be the same as Betsy Arnold had on the afternoon of July 24th. He would exchange one home for another. Through her life in this world, Betsy knew the reality of highs and lows. I would not want to mislead you and tell you that Betsy's life was always peaceful and quiet. Those who knew her understood that she did not always behave perfectly. But there was, as our brother has indicated, something unshakable about her, even in her latter years when the effects of age undermined her emotions and her memory and her reason. She knew that she was trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible makes it plain to us that faith, as small as a grain of mustard seed, when it is fastened on the Lord Jesus Christ, secures a person to the Redeemer forever. So it's not a matter of how great or how small your faith is. It's a matter of the person in whom it is placed. The apostle said in this passage that Christians walk in this world by faith. They don't know the reality of the home to which they are going. But they know the reality of salvation in Christ alone, without the works of the law. And they spend their days by faith in that expectation that the one who has gone to prepare a place for his people will come again and receive them unto himself. And there comes a day, as there did for Betsy, just nearly a month ago now, when that expectation becomes reality, when faith becomes sight, when mortality yields to immortality. So for a few minutes this morning, let us consider this text as the description of Betsy's experience on that July afternoon as she passed out of this world and arrived at faith's final home. The reality of our text is that it describes no drawn-out process or indefinite period of transition. It contemplates no such thing as purgatory or some other condition that is short of glory. Elsewhere in the Bible, Paul wrote that he knew a man who had died and who had gone into heaven and who afterwards came back to life in this world. Something Paul was describing himself through his experience of being stoned at Lystra. But the important thing is that Paul wrote it was not lawful for him to say what that man heard or experienced. There are no words that we have that can describe the place to which Betsy has gone. One who sat in this place with us is now with the Lord. She heard the gospel many times from this pulpit in a series of different places where we met. Our brother spoke about the school. That's where we got to know her. But in every place where we have met to worship over the years, she has heard the gospel. What she thought about the approach of death or about the prospect before her, we cannot know. But we have, this is the thing I want to drive home, we have the authority of the Bible itself for saying that we know she is in heaven by faith in the only Savior. The apostle was writing in this passage to Christians, to believers in Jesus Christ, to people who were born again by the power of the Spirit of God. And the implication of his words is that the prospect for unbelievers, while it is just as real and certain, is full of darkness and horror, for they will not be with the Lord. Here is a text then for believers in Christ. And it is a text that calls unbelievers to leave their sins behind and to cast themselves as Betsy did on the power of Christ to save them from sin. There can be no greater remembrance of Betsy's life than this day to trust in Christ alone. That would have pleased her so much to know that her death would become the occasion for others to join her in trusting in the Savior. Now, the teaching of our text and its context is built on a striking play on words. To be at home in the body is the same action as to be present with the Lord. It's the Greek word endemeo. It's the word that means to dwell among your people, to be at home. And most people tend to associate home with a place of rest and comfort. I know when I travel, if I have to be away on business for the church, I always am glad to come back home. It's nice to come back home to Phoenix. I've often reflected, as our brother was in Michigan this week, I've often reflected about the prospect of maybe going back home to Detroit or someplace like that, but still to come home. Now, homes are not always places of rest and comfort, we know, but that is the fault of sin. It's not the fault of the concept of the home. To be absent from the Lord, as we read here, is the same as to be absent from the body. It's a different Greek word, but there's only one letter difference. Ekdemeo. So it is the word that means to dwell away from your people. To be absent. So a single letter. This is the amazing thing about the Bible. There's a single letter in the original language that in this text and its context presents a huge gap in experience. And that is the gap through which Betsy Arnold passed in an instant on the afternoon of July 24th. Before that time, she was at home in the body. All the difficulties that were attendant upon her condition. And she was absent from the Lord in terms of his immediate presence. But in that instant, she was absent from the body and was present with the Lord. In that instant, whenever it was exactly, she was at home. She was at home with the Lord. So in these last moments of this service, I want us just to ponder that contrast. Absent from the body. Just a few weeks ago, early on a Friday morning, when it was already quite hot, we met at the National Memorial Cemetery to lay to rest Betsy's body, the body in which she lived more than 83 years in this world, the body that had all kinds of problems. We could go today and visit the grave that she shares with her husband, Chuck, if we knew the exact location. But while their mortal remains are there in that grave, they are not. Betsy is absent from that body. And this experience is common to all of Adam's descendants. They will all come. Except for those who are alive on the day the Lord returns, they will all come to be absent from their bodies. Now, for a Christian to be absent from the mortal body means several things. I want to just highlight them. It means to leave behind the limitations of genetics and disease. Some people are born with genetic abnormalities with which they deal their whole lives. Some people deal with disease, and as they grow older and their bodies break down, they deal with that on a more frequent basis. To be absent from the body means to leave all that behind. It means to leave behind the struggles with carnal passions and sinful anger. It means to leave behind the griefs of soul and the memories of failures, the bitterness that so often marks our pilgrimage, the things that tend to depress us and discourage us. When we are absent from the body, we leave all that behind. It means to leave behind the power of temptation. When we are in this mortal frame, we deal with temptation every single day. Temptation to leave undone things that we are supposed to do. Temptation to do those things that we are forbidden to do. We deal with that every single day. When we're absent from the body, we leave all that behind. Means to leave behind all of life's distresses and afflictions. No more need for pacemakers or medications or counseling sessions or whatever is attendant on our frame in this world. When we are absent from the body, when the soul leaves the body, all that is left behind. Not to be remembered anymore. This is part of the great blessing of leaving the body. And that is the prospect that lies before the people of God. Paul said it here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They will come to a moment when they will know what it means to leave all that behind. And I can tell you that after that time, there will not be any regret, not be any disappointment, not be any depression, not be any discouragement. To be absent from the body is to leave it all behind. All the troubles about money, all the challenges of how to provide best for yourself and your family, that's all left. And in that instant, this is the thing that Paul emphasizes in the text. In that instant, they know the other side as well. Present with the Lord, present with the Lord. To be present with the Lord. Now, the Lord was with Betsy all those years, more than 50 years after she came to know the Lord. The Lord was with her all those years through various difficulties that she experienced. But it's a far different thing to be conscious of the Lord's presence with you here than to be present with the Lord in His immediate presence. To be able to look upon His face. Job spoke many millennia ago of that prospect when he said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth and that He shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." To behold the face of the Redeemer, to be present with the Lord, is to join in the everlasting anthems of praise to the Lamb. We heard that passage from Revelation 5. I like to think of Betsy as part of that vast chorus now singing those anthems to the Lamb. The Lamb is all the glory, as the hymn writer said, of Emmanuel's land. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. There's not a single soul in heaven, Betsy included, apart from the sacrifice of Christ upon Calvary. That is the gospel. There is no way to salvation apart from the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary. And Betsy, now with the Lord, is joining in those anthems of praise that resound forever and ever. To be present with the Lord is to witness the vindication of all the Savior's work. Wonderful to know in Betsy's case that redemption has reached its culmination. She is with the Lord. And one day her body is going to be raised again from the dead. Not the body that was marked by infirmity and weakness that we knew, but the body of perfection and immortality. Death will be swallowed up of life. But she is with the Lord now. And the greatest part of it is that to be present with the Lord, to be at home with the Lord, is never to go out again. To be there forever. There are times when I travel and I come home from a trip and I know that before very long I have to make another one. But when you are with the Lord, you're not going out anymore. That is home. You are there forever and forever. And it will not be a boring place. It will be a place of joy that we cannot begin to describe. That is where she is. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, all on the basis of what Christ accomplished on the cross. This is the only way of salvation. There are people who think, well, I'm going to do the best I can. It won't be good enough. Or I've done pretty well, not as bad as others. It doesn't matter. Unless your faith is in Jesus Christ and in Him alone, unless you're depending on Him as Betsy was, you will not know what it is to be home with the Lord. The faith that guided Betsy in her life, however imperfectly, is the faith that brought her finally home. Faith becomes sight. I trust that it will be your experience too, that when that day comes in your life, you will know what it is not only to be absent from the body, but in that instant, to be present with the Lord.